don't want what we know out there.
How a person can go from really almost nothing to becoming a millionaire by owning rental properties.
He would always buy these flip houses, and I just remember thinking, this guy is crazy. Why would he buy that house?
In the past decade, there's been a huge surge in the peer-to-peer short-term rental market.
Become an insider. So you have to know the rules before you get the game.
Every second counts. So make every second count.
Welcome to the Real Estate Jam. Whether you're just beginning or the best of the best, we're glad you're here. We will share successes, failures, and strategies for the action-taking real estate investor. And now to your hosts, JD and Melissa.
Guys, welcome to the Real Estate Jam podcast. I'm JD with my wonderful, talented, and extremely busy co-host.
Hello, JD.
Melissa.
How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I just recently got back from that ICE conference where they were talking about the Corporate Transparency Act and how much of a hassle. And, you know, every entrepreneur that I know says that they don't want to do it. I don't know if there's good reason behind that or not. But I'm super excited to bring our guests on today. We have Garrett and Todd Sutton. Garrett and Ted Sutton. Sorry, Ted. It's written all.
Oh, no worries. You're good. Nothing to worry about. Yeah.
Their company is Corporate Direct, but they're also very accomplished authors. Wrote a few books in the Robert Kiyosaki advisor group, and I'll let them talk more about that. But guys, thank you so much for finding time for us. And really, can you just introduce yourself to our audience and let them know why they should be paying attention to you, especially with the topic that we're going to cover today?
Well, I'll start out, JD, and thanks for having us, Melissa and JD. My name's Garrett Sutton. I'm an attorney, and I became very fortunate to become associated with Robert Kiyosaki 20 years ago. And I've written a number of books in the Rich Dad Advisor series. This is the latest one, Veil Not Fail. You know, how to avoid having your corporate veil pierced and you becoming personally liable for the debts of the business. So I've traveled the world with Robert Kiyosaki, and Ted has been on some of those trips to Australia and Chile. And
nice.
You know, learning from Robert has been a great benefit for Ted.
Sure.
And he went to law school and recently passed two bar exams.
Nice.
And so he's going to be taking over the business. And one of the things we're dealing with is the Corporate Transparency Act, which everybody has to file. We'll talk about all that, but then I'll let Ted introduce himself.
Yep. So Dad kind of already introduced me, but I'm Ted Sutton. I'm Garrett's son. You know, I'm from Reno, went to college in Utah, actually got a degree in mining engineering, believe it or not.
Wow.
And, you know, after working at a mine in Chile, it made me realize it wasn't for me. So I graduated, took a year off, went to law school, passed two bar exams, and now I'm working with him. And ever since I've been a lawyer, I've been primarily focused on the Corporate Transparency Act. You know, we here at Corporate Direct have been focusing on this new law for 3 years now, because it was passed 3 years ago and we've been keeping very close tabs on it. So, you know, I've gone into the weeds about the Corporate Transparency Act. You know, I've gone on other podcasts to talk about it, and we're taking a lot of time and effort to make sure that the 13,000 clients we have are going to be prepared and in compliance with this new law.
Yeah. Well, that's crazy that you say it was passed 3 years ago, because the first time I ever heard about it, something popped up on Facebook like December 26th and said, hey, this is going into effect January 1st or something to that effect. And I was like, oh my gosh, our world's ending. We're going to have to do all this. And I know that there's some specific guidelines and rules and stuff. And I'm hoping you guys, because there's a lot of people, and even in our high level mastermind, there were people that had never ever heard of it and didn't know anything about it. Their CPA hadn't talked to them about it. Their attorney hadn't talked to them about it. Nobody knew about it. So we're really hoping you can kind of give the broad overhead and then tell us who it applies to, who it affects, and what it actually means for us.
Well, and you raised a very good point, JD. No one's talking about this law. And it's like Ted said, it's been on the books for a number of years. But I think the government didn't want to promote it because it is a burden on businesses.
Yeah.
And where most regulations affect big business, this one targets the small businesses. And the whole idea behind it is to understand who's engaged in money laundering and terrorist financing. But as the Wall Street Journal wrote in their editorial about it, do you think the bad guys are really going to self-report? You know, I don't think this law is going to catch any money launderers, but at the same time, it is the law. And we have to help our clients comply with the law. So that's why we've set up a database so that we can get the information from our clients to the federal government. Because if you don't follow the law, JD, the penalties are pretty significant. $10,000 a year in fines and or 2 years in jail. So this is something that you really need to pay attention to. And I'll let Ted get into the particulars of what you need to report. But just know that if you have an entity that was set up in 2023 or before, you have this whole year to file. But if you set up a new entity today, you've got to get this information to the federal government within 90 days. So this is important information for your listeners to know about.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess, so recently, Melissa told me about it, but there was a lawsuit that questioning the constitutionality of the Corporate Transparency Act. And I'm wondering if you guys could speak on that, because you said something that we didn't understand right before we started filming, and that was that it only applies to the people who are a party to the lawsuit at this point.
Yeah, that's correct. So the ruling came out on March 1st, and the plaintiff in the case was the National Small Business Association. So it's a group of 65,000 small businesses. You know, I went through the opinion. I thought it was fairly persuasive, but the fact of the matter is, as it stands right now, it only applies to the 65,000 businesses that are part of the National Small Business Association. And the second thing to note is that there is a very good chance that it could be reversed on appeal. I think in the next year or so, it'll work its way up to the Supreme Court. You know, right now it's in the Federal District Court of Alabama. The next step will be the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. And then after that, I do believe that it'll work its way up to the Supreme Court. And I think the three liberal justices will hold it to be constitutional. Mm-hmm. You know, and then John Roberts could be number four. And then all you need at that point is another justice, whether it be Brett Kavanaugh, Neil Gorsuch, whoever, to, you know, be that fifth person. So there is a chance that it's going to be overturned on appeal. And, you know, because of those two things, because it only applies to the named plaintiffs and it could be overturned, we're proceeding as if it's going to be upheld. And I think a lot of other people should as well.
Yeah. And so just to clarify, essentially, this new law says that anybody that owns a business or starts a business has to register in a private database that only the government has access to, and the government will know anybody who receives any type of benefit, which is loosely defined as I understand it. Benefit could be money, but it could be other stuff. Anybody who's in control of that business has to be known to the government. Is that a fair way to describe it?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. So, you know, FinCEN, it stands for the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. They're the one that's going to be running this database. Now, you are right that this database is not available to the public, so people can't just do a search of the database to find who owns a company. It is only accessible to certain law enforcement agencies and financial institutions. But the big issue there is that it's going to have information on 30 million small businesses. Mm-hmm. And we've seen other government databases get hacked.
Yeah.
So, you know, given the recent pattern of things that have happened, There is a good chance that it's going to be a target-rich database that hackers are going to go after.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to have that database. I mean, you just knowing who owns a property. And then, you know, so where it looks concerning to me is for all of the asset protection stuff, like the reason that we use LLCs is to limit our liability in certain things. Not that we ever purposely go out and do anything wrong, but, it, you know, there people fall down at properties, people are looking for entities to sue and then trying to pierce the corporate veil and find all of this stuff. If there's a database that has everybody's stuff registered, that it, will it be accessible? You know, if I get sued in one of my property holding LLCs, can the lawsuit then subpoena the records from this database to find out all of the other entities that are owned and that kind of stuff? Or can they do, really, it's not about them doing it during the trial, because we have to report everything, or during discovery, we have to report everything anyway. But when they're making the decision whether to sue us or not, are they going to have access to all of that information?
No, the database is available to law enforcement. It will not be available to someone, a private individual who presents a subpoena. So, you know, people are concerned about having to report this information. But my feeling is that the asset protection is more important than having to file this information with the federal government.
Yeah.
So I think you should still have LLCs mm-hmm. for protection. Now, if you get into a court case and they want to find out what else you own, I mean, if you own a duplex and a tenant falls with the property, that's the what they're entitled to know is who owns the duplex. They really aren't entitled to any information beyond that. And if you have a good lawyer, they should be able to limit that information from coming out.
Right.
But I think asset protection is important. The other thing to know, JD, is we don't have to have everybody's information. If you own less than 25% of the LLC, if you're not in substantial control of the LLC, your name does not have to be submitted. And Ted can talk further about the specific requirements. But, you know, if you're a 5% owner of an LLC and you don't have control of that LLC, your name does not have to be submitted.
Sure. So that's, you know, your money raises for property syndications or equity share in those kind of things, you probably wouldn't. But if you control it, so if I'm married, I have an LLC, but my wife pulls all the strings, do I have to put her report her information?
Yeah. So in that case, it depends on whether or not you're a beneficial owner. And a beneficial owner can be one of two things. The first thing is that a beneficial owner is somebody who owns 25% or more of the reporting company. So if you automatically meet that threshold, you're a beneficial owner. But it could also be a second thing, and that relates to the management of the LLC or the company. Mm-hmm. And this is where if you exercise any substantial control over the company, and substantial control is meant to be read broadly. If you have any substantial control of the company, so if you're an LLC manager, if you're a director, if you have any control over the affairs of the LLC or the business, then you'd be a beneficial owner as well. So, for example, you could own 10% of an LLC and be the manager of that LLC. And in that case, you would have the substantial control. So, in most cases, you're going to have at least one beneficial owner, but it is very fact specific. So, mm-hmm. you know, depending on how you guys own your entity or whether you exercise control over it, you may be a beneficial owner and you may have to report information to FinCEN.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that was brought to my attention is, can you talk about the types of companies that don't have to report and the size of companies that don't have to report? Because what you said earlier was that this is, you know, specifically applying to small businesses, but some of these other institutions, which I think would be more likely to be money laundering than our mom and pop short-term rental business, they're not having to report, right?
Yeah. So there are 23 exemptions to what, you know, that are exempt as reporting companies. So first off, a reporting company is any company that's set up with the Secretary of State. So LLCs, corporations, all the like. But there are 23 exemptions to that requirement. And if your business meets one of those 23 exemptions, then you won't have to report your information to FinCEN. And there's two that I think are worth talking about. The first is the large operating company exemption. So that's where if you're a big enough business, you don't have to report. So with a large operating company, it's $5 million in gross receipts in a given year. It's having 21 or more employees, and then also having a physical presence in the US. So you either own a building or lease space there. So, you know, working remotely doesn't count. So if you meet those three requirements, you don't have to report. But for real estate investors, in most cases, they're going to fall below that requirement. And so in that case, most likely they're going to have to report their information.
And just to clarify, that's not if you meet one of those three, it's if you meet all three of those, right?
That's correct. Yeah, you have to meet all three of them in order to be exempt.
Yeah.
And then the second one is the inactive entities exemption. And that's where, let's say you set up an LLC and it's just sat on the shelf. Maybe you wanted to use it to buy a rental property, but it sat there, you know, ownership hasn't changed, you haven't put any money into it. Well, in that case, that entity could meet the inactive entities exemption. So, you know, if you just have a company sitting on the shelf, in that case, you wouldn't have to report. So that could apply to a lot of real estate investors. And, you know, there are 21 other exemptions. I'm not going to put you to sleep by going through all of them. But
if you are a real estate investor and you've got an LLC that owns a duplex, I mean, you've got to report.
Yeah.
Right. Because someone is in substantial control. Right. So someone's managing that that business, and someone is a beneficial owner. And so, you know, I just worry that people are going to try and get a little too cute with the rules and get themselves in trouble. Now, at the start, I don't think the Treasury Department is going to be going after too many people, but at some point, they're going to start making examples of people for not filing. And you know that's coming. So the safer thing to do is just file the information.
Yeah. There's from what we've seen and what we've heard, there's no way to get around it. Can you talk about the timelines for established businesses versus new businesses in the filing requirement?
Yeah. So the timing to report depends upon when the business was formed. So if you're formed, if you set up an LLC or a business in 2023 or earlier, you have an entire year to get this information to FinCEN. So you have until December 31st, 2024. If you set up a company in 2024, you have 90 days to report this information to FinCEN. So if you set up a company in January of this year, you only have a few weeks to get your information. And then if you set up a company in 2025 or later, so you set it up next year and beyond that, you only have 30 days to get your information to FinCEN. So the clock really starts to tick. For the businesses that are already set up, there is a grace period. But in the future, the Corporate Transparency Act, it's going to require new businesses to act really quickly to get this information to them.
Now, here's a little wrinkle, JD. A lot of people will set up an LLC for syndication, right? They're going to bring in investors. They don't know what the percentages are at the start. And maybe it takes, you know, maybe it takes 6 months to know who the investors are. You're better off once you file your LLC to list yourself as being in substantial control. And then when you bring in the investors and you've got a couple 25% guys, then you're going to have to amend the information and update it with FinCEN. So the fact that you're waiting around for your investors to come in, you still need to file right away.
Yeah.
And then amend it.
That makes sense. So Why do you think I have my own personal reasons, but why do you think so many people are pushing back against this, don't want to do it? You know, what's the justifications for the lawsuit? Why do people have a problem with this?
Well, I think that people just do not like the government collecting this type of information. You know, if let's just say we're in a science fiction movie and the government is wants to know what you own, and you've contributed to the wrong political party, and they have this database and they find out that you own a piece of property with water nearby. And so they send the EPA out to punish you. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are some of I don't necessarily agree that that would happen, but those are some of the reasons why people don't like this database to be in effect, because the government has all sorts of information on you. So that for me is what I'm hearing from people, is that this is just the government trying to assert too much control. You know, as a society, we've done pretty well without the government knowing every single thing about us. You know, there's been this level of freedom that allows people to, pursue their best interests. Does the government having all this information help that or hurt that? And so that's what I'm hearing from my clients.
Yeah, absolutely. And then... I guess my next question is, and this was brought up at my mastermind as well. It's a group of investor, a husband and wife team in Texas, and they have like a series LLCs and multiple, where each property is in its own series. Are they going to have to, they have a medium, you know, small to medium portfolio, 30 or so different entities that own these different properties that they have controlled by one entity at the top? Are they going to have to report on each one of those individual LLCs?
Yes, I believe so. We don't deal with series LLCs just because they're a newer entity and there are a lot of inconsistencies with them.
There are too many unknowns. We don't even set them up.
Yeah.
But I would argue that every series within the series LLC would have to file, because you have different ownership, you have different control issues. So you're going to have to report every single series.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of work for a mom and pop shop that are trying to take their kids to school. They're trying to talk with their investors. They're trying to make sure the property management company got the property clean before turnover. It's a lot of additional work. Now, are there registration fees or filing fees that also go along with this, or is it just fill out the form or have your lawyer fill out the form, or what does that look like?
Well, there's no fee to the government for this. They were wise enough not to add a fee to it.
That's anarchy.
But we charge a fee for providing the information to the government for our clients, because there's a lot of work, JD. I mean, you have to dig down and see who is the 25% owner, who does have substantial control. And so we have to do a lot of digging to, you know, file the right paperwork for our clients. So we do charge a fee.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you're providing a service, charging a fee, but at least the government's not getting any more of my money.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So do you think that besides the fees, the possible jail time, and the timelines, do you think that there's anything else that our listeners really need to understand about this new law, about the situation? Anything? Because it sounds scary.
Yeah,
it sounds
scary. There's another wrinkle here, JD, and I'm sorry we have this wandering camera that we're gonna fix later. Sorry.
Hey, but all the podcast listeners would have never known. It's just the people on YouTube.
Okay, good. So I'll back up here. One wrinkle is you have to file an image of your driver's license or passport. So they want the passport or driver's license number, and they want a copy of it. The other thing is, when you have an expired driver's license, your driver's license expires, for example, in 2026. you have to amend with FinCEN. You have to send them a new image of the new driver's license. So you don't have to file every year, but if you change ownership, if you change substantial control issues, or if you have a new driver's license or passport, you have to amend with FinCEN. So there is an ongoing obligation here.
And as far as like, if you move address or one of the 25% controlling owners moves to a different location or something like that, I assume you have to refile with that as well.
Yeah, that's correct. So if any of the information that you submit to FinCEN changes, you have to file an updated report. And if you don't, then those same $10,000 fines and 2 years in jail apply. So there really is an ongoing element here. And we here at Corporate Direct, we have a database that's going to keep track of all this information. So if your driver's license expires, we'll reach out and say, hey, we need this information. We're going to file an updated report on your behalf. So, you know, it's pretty scary, but, you know, it's our job to make sure that our clients don't get slapped with those big penalties.
Sure. Now, I know that this, and I've looked at the FinCEN website and taken a look at it. I know that this is something you could do on your own if you wanted to put the time, effort, and energy into it. Is there a certain ideal client that you guys are you looking for the mom and pop that have one LLC, one property inside one LLC? Or are they your guys' ideal client, or are you looking for somebody who has a portfolio of LLCs or corporations? What makes sense? You know,
well, we handle the gamut, so we will handle the client that has one LLC for one property. And we have clients that have a number of LLCs for a number of properties. So, you know, we're open to assist anyone with this. And if you go to the FinCEN website, it's a little intimidating. Yeah. We're happy to help you. And you can go to corporatedirect.com and schedule a free consultation. And we'll be happy to talk to you about how we can assist with not only the Corporate Transparency Act, but also setting up any new LLCs you may need.
Yeah. Now, I know the other thing that comes to mind, and I don't know how important this stuff is when in the political landscape, when you're talking about wars and border crisis and government assistance and Social Security. I don't know how much the American people, I know that business owners care about this, but do you think that the upcoming election could have any effect on this particular ruling and this this act that has gone into place? Do you expect that sometime in the future it will actually change, or you think this is just the new America and we're going to live with Big Brother knowing everything about everything all the time?
Well, I think it could. I think, you know, there definitely will be some pushback in the future. I mean, not a lot of people are talking about it right mm-hmm. now, but, you know, as hopefully more and more people learn about it, I think that you could see some pushback, you know, particularly on the right,
yeah.
You know, where people want more privacy and more liberty. And, you know, I think a big question is there a different way to handle this? I mean, is there a way to actually go after the criminal actors instead of requiring every small business owner to report information?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to catch any money launderers with this, any terrorist financing. I just don't see them. That was the excuse for the bill, but I don't see it leading to any prosecutions in this regard. So will an election change the law? Perhaps. But at the same time, there are those in our government and elites on both sides that want this greater information for their use.
Yeah.
So I can't predict, JD, what's going to happen.
Yeah. And we always like to, and we always recommend following the law. If there's a gray area, take the gray area. That's fine. But on this, you're either in compliance or you're not. That there is no gray area. Either you did it or you didn't. There might be gray areas on who has to file and who's a beneficial owner, but you either have done it or you haven't. And there are consequences that will go with it.
Yeah, right.
So now I know you gave the website, but if anybody in our audience wanted to find out more about the Corporate Transparency Act, or well, and first, I just want to give you guys an opportunity. Besides the Corporate Transparency Act, what other services are you providing for small business owner, real estate investors?
We set up LLCs and corporations in all 50 states. We provide the registered agent services in all 50 states. And, you know, now because of this new law, we assist people with the CTA. But, you know, we're a full service LLC formation and maintenance company. And so if you go to corporatedirect.com, you can schedule a free 15-minute appointment with a incorporating specialist. And just talk through and see if we can help you in your needs. A lot of our clients like the one-stop shop where they set up the entity, they can have the registered agent, mm-hmm. we can help them maintain their entity year in and year out. You know, like we don't want their veil to fail.
Right.
So we provide that service. And so, you know, that's kind of the service and Ted's gonna take it over someday. So I'm sure he wants to talk about his book.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask. I know this is there's multiple books, and I want to know one. Where can our listeners find their book? And Ted, if you could give us a rundown of what you wrote about.
Yeah, sure. So as you know, my dad's written a dozen plus books, and he's sold over a million copies. But I wrote one book, published it a few months ago, and it's titled "The Five Tricks to Teach Your Kids About Money." You know, personal finance is something that in financial education are things that aren't taught in school. And so one of the questions that I got is, how do you teach kids about money? You know, what are things that you can do to boost their financial IQ? So I boiled it down to five tricks. And, you know, you're not playing a prank on your kids or anything like that, but they're just five methods that parents can use to boost their kids' financial IQ. And you can find that by going to sunstream.com/5tricks. So that's S-U-N-N, two N's, sunstream.com, sunstream.com/5tricks. And you'll be able to download it for free. So you don't have to pay anything, but you'll definitely get a good value out of it because it will boost your kids' financial IQ.
And Sunstream is a platform that we've started in part to provide financial education for kids. Mm-hmm. So there are a number of videos there that you can subscribe to the service and be able to get your kids educated on money because, again, they're not teaching it in school.
No, they're not.
Sure. Well, thank you guys very much.
Yeah.
Sure. Thank you, Mark.
Awesome. Well, we really appreciate your time and hope you guys have a great day.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to The Real Estate Jam. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. For more information, check out our website, therealestatejam.com, or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Real Estate Jam. If you have any questions, feel free to drop us an email at therealestatejam@gmail.com. See you next episode.